It's time for Scuttlebutt Ultras. Quick takes from our Patreon Ultras, sharing their Sounders thoughts straight from the heart. Your voice, your moment.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Scuttlebutt Ultras here, part of the Sounders Scuttlebutt Network. I'm Cameron Collins. I am here with your Ultras, the group of gentlemen who are here every week for you to break down what's going on with the Sounders in their own unique way. We're going to start just randomly in the bottom right corner. What's up, Dan? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on? I'm hoping somebody can explain to me why I woke up this morning feeling like we lost yesterday. So maybe we can get to that by the end.
Middle fingers up to everybody. Cedar, how you doing today?
Everything's good. Happy to be back talking this game. Yeah, it's. I will echo Dan's sentiments. I actually haven't seen the video, but I heard it was the saddest, most somber Jingle Bells of all time.
Oh, interesting. It came up and I moved along because I wasn't feeling it. we do have the man of two names always, Alex Diaz.
Hey, what's how's it up, going?
Man? How you doing, Alex?
I mean, I'm probably on the same boat as everybody here. I think we...
Yeah, we'll find out. I'm interested to see how hot the takes are 12 plus almost 24, 20, about 22 hours removed from the end of the match. As we are actually recording before the regular Scuttlebutt show this week, because we often record on Monday nights, but I think that might be a regular thing because we might have a little bit of a cadence down here now that we have a bunch of games coming up, recording here on Sunday nights, a night of the Club World Cup final where Chelsea shockingly came out and destroyed PSG. Who's got thoughts on that surprising outcome?
I'm pretty sure Cole Palmer all said that Chelsea was going to win, so we could probably just move on and not bring it up anymore.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, I mean, as a Chelsea supporter for 30 years and a PSG supporter for 25, I was as shocked as everyone. Of course, Cole Palmer did Cole Palmer things, but you wouldn't think that a young Chelsea team could just take out a young PSG team like that, one who had been gelling really well together. Yeah. All right. Let's talk Sounders then. Let's just go into it. It helps to have superstars, I think. Cole Palmer scoring twice, Messi scoring twice. The Sounders, do we have a superstar back in our midst as Jordan Morris gets a start and, of course, scores a goal on a beautiful assist from Paul Rothrock? Where are we at, Dan? What do you think about Jordan Morris's return to the starting lineup?
Yeah, 15 minutes in, and he had already put it in the back of the net. And I was watching the game with my kiddo, Joe, and I just could not remember, and I just didn't have the bandwidth to go look it up. But when is the last time we scored a goal off of a Seattle Sounders head? It's feel like it's been a while. And that's besides his speed, that's something else he brings is the ability to take in a high cross and put it in the back of the net with some force. That came off of his head fast. So
we might have had one in the Club World Cup, but it's been a while.
Christians,
otherwise.
But that was off a deflection.
Yeah. But it's definitely something to see, Alex. What did you think about Jordan's return to the starting lineup? Only 45 minutes, but a pretty good shift considering what we saw.
Oh yeah, I think it was great for him to get on the score sheet. Like, that was basically like his I'm back moment. Like, this is why I'm the DP. And it was a beautiful cross from Rothrock, and it was just that header. All you have to do is put it on frame, put it anywhere on the side. As long as you don't hit it straight at the goalie, it's going in 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, we saw Rusnak have a shot that 9 times out of 10 is going in, and the defender beat the goalie, and the defender stopped it a little bit after that. But yeah, I was pretty happy about that. Cedar, Morris is back. Did you see what you wanted to see out of him, especially at the number 9?
Yeah, he was stretching the field. He's a little bit, obviously he's a little bit bigger than Musovski. He provides that physical presence that maybe Musoski doesn't quite have. And he was dropping into the midfield, collecting balls, distributing as well. He's good at that. We all know this. And man, yeah, I wish he could have kept on the field there, but he looked so, when they went to halftime, they cut to him and his face was so red. Like he was totally winded. So he's still ramping back up, but yeah, it's great to see him. Let's see everything click right away with him back on the field.
I got to say, I don't know how he does it. I have type 2 diabetes, which is in remission because I got diagnosed and immediately did everything I needed to do within a year to make my A1C and everything get down to levels where it doesn't really affect me because I take my medicine every day. But Jordan having type 1 diabetes, just the fatigue I feel alone, I can't imagine being an athlete and running that much and then having to deal with, you've seen tons of baseball players, especially that in the weight can affect them. So being a soccer player, it's gotta be pretty draining.
It's impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. So could Jordan be the answer to what we need? I mean, we haven't been scoring goals. I don't remember which one of you mentioned it, but we were expecting goals in this match. We got 3, all in the first half. It almost felt like a tale of two halves, though, where the second half was just holding on. Took our foot off the gas. Partially, Danny Musovski had a rough second half, including what Sounders fans were complaining about. But upon replay, it seemed like a pretty clear penalty on Danny taking out the guy's lower leg. The other one is a little more questionable in my opinion, but I don't know. How are we feeling about the team with Jordan up top just in general? Is this something you think is sustainable, three goal games, and something the Sounders will now be able to do regularly and help out the defense a bit? Take it away anyway.
No, I don't think that we're going to see 3 goal games all the time. I think the 2-game goals are going to be more common instead of the 1-game goals. I think that could help. But I still have a concern that with Morris on the field, you're taking Danny off. And previously, Danny's been the one scoring the goals. He's got 6 on the year. And we don't have 2 goal scorers on the field, even with just Morris. Maybe Rothrock can get it here and there. You know, in this game, Jesus, he got his goal. It was a tap in, but I was texting back and forth with some folks, and there was some chances earlier that Jesus just again kind of flubbed a little bit before he did get his goal. So I do not expect going forward that we're going to get 3 games more times than not. I would expect a little bit more of 2 games, but 3 is, I think that's asking a lot.
So coming in or after last night, I should say, Rave Green TV noted that Danny has 1 goal in his last 11 games.
Ooh.
And he's continued to be in the right position, it seems like, over and over again, but has not really been able to score. Do you think that is a Danny problem, or is that a inability to get Danny? I mean, it seems like he is getting some dangerous position balls to him, but is he going to get those goals if he hasn't been able to do it without Jordan? Does it open up another path to him if we're playing 2 at the top?
I don't know how often we're going to see 2 at the top, but I think it's a Danny problem. I think there's a reason that he is a career MLS backup, even with the position that he gets in. And we got our 6 goals out of him. He helped us through this patch. And so I definitely am grateful for the service that he has provided, but I'm also extremely glad Jordan's back. I still want one more dead-eye dick, if you will, that's going to score some goals.
Yeah, I know our colleagues over at Lobbing Scorchers talking about, I think it was earlier today or yesterday, that on their YouTube page, how Noah Ohio doesn't want to leave because they only have 1 forward there. And so the Sounders are going to have to offer upwards of 10, 11 million to bring him in to the club, which doesn't seem like something the club is willing to do for a player that won't be starting unless they see him with a long future here. So what we have is what we're going to get, at least for the short term. I don't know, Cedar, what about you? how you feeling with how we're going to do moving forward with Jordan Morris coming back and hopefully playing more and more minutes every game.
Yeah, I feel pretty good. I mean, it probably is a little reductive to say, but we scored 3 in the half that he was playing, and we scored none in the half that he wasn't playing. So I think he just, not only with the actual opportunities in the box, do I think he's, you know, probably a little bit better than Masofsky, but also you see him, again, drop into the midfield. You see him receive the ball, distribute it back out, and then go find space. He's really good at that. He's been doing it for years. So I think he just stretches, not only stretches the field vertically, but also is able to kind of almost be a drop back into the top of the box when we're in possession and help facilitate more of an attack. So I'm excited to see him be back at full stamina, because I think he may be the missing piece for us scoring, you know, hopefully more than one goal a game or any.
Yeah.
No, Alex? I think it's good to see him back on the field, because he offers a different sort of attack than Danny Masofsky does. Like, we're able to play him in through and behind. He's able to run at defenders. Like you guys said earlier, he's a big, much bigger body than Danny. And like he's able to score headers now too. We haven't seen that in a while. And it's just like, I think he might be the missing piece to the formula that we need to be able to unlock defenses and score more goals.
Was there anything else that happened during this game that might be worth discussing? Anything controversial or surprising?
I mean, at this point, I'm not surprised by what happened.
Surprising? Yeah, I don't think anything surprising happened.
I think it was more so it was a matter of time till we saw it happen.
Yeah, I mean, Nuhu receives a red card for throwing a ball at a fan. In our Discord, if you join the Discord, you see Nicholas posted the video of him picking the ball up off the ball stand and just chucking it directly at the fan as hard as he could, according to Brian Schmetzer, for giving him the finger, which I think is also what he was trying to tell the ref in what has become one of the funniest pictures I have ever seen, which is the ref running at Nuhu and him just giving him the finger because he's trying to say, look at what he did to me. What gives? Like, what is Nuhu doing here?
They lace.
I mean,
someone to go.
My bad. Yeah. So on one hand, I get that what he did he's probably going to suffer some consequences. The team may even suffer some consequences with him being absent, because I still think he is the best two man that left back position, especially if we're going to play with a three back. But I do, part of me, I'm a real big fan of Loki, and I really enjoy the, it's my background already. Him flipping the ref off is the background of my computer, and part of me does enjoy it. The lizard part of my brain enjoys seeing Nuhu act a fool and cause problems. I just hate that it is going to hurt the team in the long run.
Yeah, Alex, what do you think?
I just don't even know what to say. Like, I think as a professional athlete, or just a person in general, you shouldn't be reacting that way. Like, who knows? Like, maybe the fan crossed the line, but you know, like, you're going to go into places, hostile environments where fans are going to try to heckle. And that's where you have to have a strong mentality and be able to not react, because that's what they want. They want to get a reaction out of you. They want to throw you off your game. And as we've seen before, it's very easy to throw Nuhu off his game. There's a lot of examples of mental lapse where he's did something that's led to a goal, led to a card. And at this point, I'm not surprised that he did something. It was just like, oh, what did he do this time?
I feel like if it had been something more than just the finger, Schmetzer would, like, if it had said something racist or something like that. Because you know what? I'll be honest. I'm fully for going full Eric Cantona and kicking a fan in the head if they say something racist. I don't have a problem with that. I would support Nuhu in that instance. But you just can't let someone, because go look at the replay of Jordan Morris's goal. The entire crowd behind him is giving him the finger after he scores. If you watch that, it's insane. And he's not going over there and chucking balls at him. It's just, I mean, obviously a point of frustration. Cedar, where are you at on this?
Yeah, I think, you know, you can't control other people's behavior. Right. And especially if you're, I wouldn't know what it feels like to be a professional athlete and have people boo, heckle you, or, you know, throw the finger at you. But again, you can't control their behavior. All you can do is control your own behavior. And I think that, you know, it seems like the Sounders under Brian Schmetzer, he really tries to set that standard that he got set upon him when he was a teenager, you know, at the club way back in the day, of, you know, being a certain level of person in your conduct and being responsible. And I just don't see how Nuhu throwing a ball at a fan, which, you know, I mean, technically that's assault. It doesn't seem like that's not Sounders' behavior. And, you know, he was away from the team too in that moment. The whole thing is just, it's unfortunate.
That was weird. There was a couple Sounders by him, but why were they way over there, and not, over there, not with the team? That was kind of weird.
Right. It's like, dude, just focus on your team, you know, focus on the game. And it put us short staff for some really critical moments, because Sporting KC had been putting us under pressure, you know, and they were only down a goal. And then, you know, you take a man off the field, it makes it that much harder to close out potentially a road win. Fortunately, we did get it, but it's just like, oh man, like, what, you know, what are we doing? We gotta all behave as a team. We gotta be together. And he was literally physically separate from everybody else. And yeah, it was disappointing to see. But hopefully it gets rectified, and, you know, maybe he'll learn and not do it again. I don't know. But yeah, it's frustrating for sure.
I was just watching footage of the brawl on the field at the Club World Cup final after the game ended, where Luis Enrique, the coach, shoved João Pedro of Chelsea because he was getting in the face of Donnarumma and some other people. But the way it went down, it looks like Luis Enrique.
He slapped him. He was been watching some slap boxing.
Yeah, it's. I can't imagine Schmetzer ever doing that. Although there's probably some times I wish someone would have done that to a few opposing players. What do you do with Nuhu at this point if you're Schmetzer? I mean, he said we'll deal with it internally. The thing is, this isn't the first time. This isn't the second time. This isn't the third time. This isn't the fourth time. This is the seventh or eighth time that there's been Nuhu issues of late. There were the last few years. And if you look at his whole career, even more. I know he doesn't have the support system that a lot of the other players have. He moved all the way across the world on his own. But it seems like because of that, and he feels like he's on his own, he's acting out in ways that aren't just going to not help the Sounders, aren't going to help his career. But what's the next step for the Sounders here? What do you do if you're the coach?
So since Jerry Epstein and Trump being on the, you know, the client list is back in the news, I have a hot take or a conspiracy theory for everyone for the Sounders. And it goes like this. What we're seeing with Nuhu this year and last year in particular. So I think the team, I don't think anybody's going to disagree that with the fans, there has been some issues where maybe the vibes are down. That's whatever that means. I'm probably too old to be using that phrase. But I think the team itself is filling some of that, those vibe issues with the vibes being down. And I think Nuhu here is the canary in the coal mine type of deal where every time we see this happen, it is where we're in a game state where things are pretty bad. In the Vancouver game, whenever he got that that red card there, they were, the Diarrhea Boys were taking it to us, you know. So I think that what we're seeing with Nuhu is maybe a little bit of what's going on behind the scenes with some of the team there, because I know there was some discontent reported last year with Raul and Nuhu too, and that just didn't clear up over the offseason. So that's my conspiracy theory, was zero evidence whatsoever except for my gut. But hey, that's good enough for Cash Patel, so it's good enough for me.
Cedar, where are you at on this? Like, what are you doing if you're Schmetzer or the GM, or how do you handle this? And this is a different type of issue than some of the other petulantness we've seen from him, because this is violent conduct, not just an on the field play where you kick someone in a stupid position or something.
Yeah, that's to me where I'm really disappointed, because it's one thing to, you know, have a reckless challenge against a fellow sporting competitor. But I think to cross that line and, you know, deliberately throw a soccer ball at a fan, I don't know. I mean, I don't recall seeing really any incident like that in MLS in the past few years, or if ever. I know there have been many incidents in world football for sure, but I can't remember seeing that in this league. Yeah, it's to me, that's just not, that's not okay. That's not the kind of behavior that we want to see out of anybody, and especially not one of our own players. As for how it gets dealt with, I would be the worst person to ask. I have no idea what kind of, you know, I don't know what kind of the disciplinary kind of culture a head coach would have to does actually cultivate in moments like that. But, you know, I for the most part, I trust Brian in terms of how he runs the team. So I'm sure he's got his own ideas that he's probably already enacting. So, you know, other than that, it's you know, if Nuhu gets suspended by the league, the team gets fined, Nuhu gets fined. I mean, it'll be next man up, obviously. And, you know, I like Reed Baker-Whiting. I like what he brings to the team. So I'm excited to see him get more playing time. And yeah, it's just unfortunate. I hope that Nuhu is able to get back into the good graces of the team and the fan base and be the best version of himself. Of himself that we know he can be. I mean, we all know what his potential is. He's got insane amounts of potential. And I think that's really the frustrating part too, is like, we know how great of a guy he is. We all like Nuhu, and we all know how good of a soccer player he can be. And right now, you know, both are like, you know, and both are down. Like, clearly he's not in a good spot. And it's tough to see somebody, you know, struggling with their mental health, emotional health, all of that. So it's just like, all right, hopefully he's able to get things right. And, you know, things will be better moving forward. That's what I would hope for.
I mean, he's such a good player that you can't have a player of his caliber that is going to get kicked out of the game every other game, right? Like, you need... It's better to have someone who's not as good if you know they're going to be able to play the entire time at this point. Alex's contract ends at the end of this year. They have a club option for next year. Do you think this affects that at all? Do you think this is just a bump in the road, or are the Sounders rethinking about what they're going to do moving forward here, and whether they're going to exercise the club option on him for 2026?
I think it doesn't help his case for the club to exercise their option. I mean, if he's bringing bad publicity to the club, like, it tarnishes their reputation. It isn't a good look. It isn't a good look for the club. It isn't a good look for the league. And apparently, I guess the fan is going to press charges on Nuhu, so it's just I think the fan is going to press charges on Nuhu. That's what I heard.
I mean, I'm sure he can because it is outside the bounds of playing the game, but goodness gracious, Karen. That just seems like a short-sighted thing to do.
But I just mean...
Like, his response was over the top, but come on, you did something to provoke it, right? You're not innocent in this. This just, I mean, sure, you did what... The fan got under his skin enough. And like I said, if it comes out that something else was said and there was something else that happened, but I feel like Schmetzer would have said that first thing if that was the case, and we would have already got a notice from the league saying they're looking at, you know, an incident involving racism, because that's what we see when these things happen. So,
and I think, if Nuhu,
well, then can Roldan go back and retroactively charge their goalie for body slamming him? That was not a soccer move.
It was during
that
the
was
game,
certainly
so
assault.
It was, so was it, but actually, play was stopped. Wasn't it the VAR check, or was it a cooling break?
It was penalty. No, it was penalty. It was after the penalty. But yeah, I mean, it was still part of the game.
Yeah,
I guess we need those now.
I don't know why the Kansas City fans are so mad. I mean, they love professional wrestling so much, and this is straight out of something that you would see in WWE or wrestling now is, you know, some fan engagement and interaction. And, you know, I just watched the video. The ball got thrown in the stands, bounced up in the air, and somebody behind him caught it. So, yeah.
I mean, it's not fun to get hit in the head with the ball, right? I got a concussion earlier this year, so I don't recommend it. But, yeah, Cedar, what were you saying?
Oh, I wasn't saying anything. Sorry. I'm not here to speak. What are you talking about?
I mean, so what do you think happens? Is this a 3-game ban, and then you know, he does whatever penance he needs to do behind the scenes, and he's back out there? Is this Reed steals his job like we thought might happen if the PSG match hadn't fallen on his birthday? I don't know. Is this, you know, what happens here now? Isn't this new whose job, or he lose this?
How does he go? How do you put him back on the pitch?
Yeah, I agree with Dan. If I'm a coach, I'm not putting a player out there without a serious consequences. He's got to sit a few matches.
I mean, Reed is out next match too, right? Since didn't he get a second yellow in the match? No. Or did he just, he didn't get it on the.
That was last week.
See, it's so hard to keep track with all the reds.
Or that was KKR. Yeah.
What's
it's 4-game streak? All right,
so who's going to get the next red card? What are we putting money on?
I mean, it's guaranteed at this point we're going to get one, at least. Maybe not next match.
I think
the
Jackson
one
will get the next one.
I say Thomas.
I think Jackson.
Oh, I bet you Christian. I would say Christian. He's probably due. He got bailed out the last time.
Well, how much are we putting on this? Because I'm excited now. So. I'll go with Thomas. So hey, Cedar's got Christian. And then who did you have?
I got Jackson.
Alex, you got Jackson? Okay, yeah. We put 10 on it. The winner walks on with the money.
I like it. Honestly, I mean, Nicholas should put this as, you know, one of the categories in the
will there be a red
prediction. Yes. Like an over under on like yellow cards, will there be a red?
I think will there be a red?
Who's gonna get the red?
You know? Will there be a red? You get a point, you know, if you're right.
I certainly was wrong with my 1-1 prediction this week. Although
I
got
wrong
too. Goal scorers right.
I took 1-1.
I came on the show last week and was talking about it's going to be 3-1, and then I put 1-1 when I filled out my form. So I was wrong both ways. It was 3-2, but
I think, Dan, you were the closest, right?
No, I don't know ball. I have no ball knowledge.
I feel like with the Sounders, it's hard to tell. All right, let's finish up this match and then take a break here. 3-2 seemed like tale of two halves, dominate the first half and just hold on in that second half. Of course, both goals were penalties. Did you see other goals coming for them, or do you think that it was just you know, tactical errors in the Sounders that led to those penalties, and really we should have finished that game 3-0.
No, I mean, I want to give both credit to Alex for his save that he had, that he cramped right after. We don't, that save saved us 2 points for sure.
And it was awkward enough that you saw, was it Jovalic, one of those players on the other team, run up to him immediately and check on him because
I was like, oh, don't tell me he did his knee. I was like, don't tell me he did something to his knee. Just by the, it looked gnarly, but it was just like, he's like saved it with like the tip of his cleat.
Well,
I've never seen somebody move their body like that the way he did. Like, I've never seen anybody.
I think
that
we can make the assumption that he's been going to yoga with his wife.
Yeah, well, probably a lot of these guys do it.
Good stretching.
It's good for you. Otherwise, you're going to break something.
Not only did he save 2 points, he also saved the fan base from probably one of the largest crash outs. Because could you imagine how upset people would be if we drew that game at 3-3?
Being up 3-0, I would have crashed out. Would be,
yeah.
It would have felt like that Mariners game where they blew it. Because the other day when we were recording, in fact, it turns out that Muñez was tipping pitches, and that and the Yankees figured that out, which is why they blew him
up.
That's
typical Mariners. You know that they start off good, and then at the end of the game, you look and they lost.
Hey,
they just destroyed Detroit 3 games since then.
We'll always lose to the Yankees, right? Except for 1995. And we'll play down to the really bad teams, but then somehow we'll beat the best team in baseball and look incredible.
And then we'll get a rough patch.
And, you know, and then it'll all...
Right, crawling into the playoffs.
Big shout out to Cole Palmer, who in the Trump showed up to celebrate the championship with Chelsea. And then you see a video of Cole Palmer being like, why is Trump here?
He's like, get this guy out of here. Infantino tried to take him off, but he didn't move.
Of course not. He's Trump.
Hey, somebody let Trump take a free kick. Just let him kick the ball. Yeah. I just want to see him kick the ball. He can't walk up airplane steps.
He might get a heart attack.
Hit a PK.
So let's get him on
the crossbar challenge at halftime.
That is a tough one, hitting it off the crossbar. Yep. I will say that.
I've always wanted to see him Trump run 5 feet. So, but
he's going to say, I won't run 5 feet, but I'll run for office.
So, I mean, one last thing. I kind of had questions for everybody else about this game. Something that I picked up on, and I was thinking, and so I was wondering, at the end of the game, we looked absolutely gassed. And I know the weather was in the 80s, 70% humidity, and we got a bunch of Seattle boys, as in, like, hey, we live in Seattle, but half these guys grew up in Seattle anyway. So playing, and we looked gassed. I thought there at the end, before the last PK, there was a sequence where Christian started stretching his calf in the middle, waving at the sidelines. The ball goes out, and he doesn't get taken off. And, you know, the camera's not following around Brian or Christian, so I can't really see. But, you know, it went back to Christian, and he's still on the pitch. And I was like, why didn't we take him off at that time? And then right after that's when that weird sequence happened where he just tried to fall on the ball like he was fouled. And then off of the, you know, he didn't get the call, and then the ball bounced into the penalty box. And so was y'all seeing some fatigue that, like, hey, our midfield probably should have got rotated out there in the 85th minute? Or was y'all happy with letting them ride it out and taking a chance?
I'm not sure if you noticed that, like, Christian cut his socks. Like, he had two big holes on the back of his socks. And normally players do that to relieve compression and pressure from the socks. So I think that he's either battling shin splints or fatigue. And as I was seeing in the Discord, join the Discord, is that we should have subbed him off around the 60th minute just to give us rest. We were up 3-0. Like, that's when we have to be rotating. Like,
I mean, who are you rotating in at that point, though? I mean, we're deep at that position, but now with JP out, who would have been next in line...
You put in Danny, right? You move Rusnak into a deeper midfield role, then you put in someone that can play the 10.
Yeah. I mean, we did see last year when Schmetzer would do this late in matches, it came back to bite us, but that was, of course, Atencio and Dan that were coming in, including in the Heritage Cup match where we were moments away from winning the Heritage Cup, and instead I had to go give it to San Jose in their locker room.
Oh, boy.
This coming up, and Wednesday is the next match in that Heritage Cup. Sounders win, we'll present it to the captain on the field. Otherwise, back to the locker room. I don't even remember what did we do down there in the opening match.
I think
match?
We tied.
I'll look
lost.
That up while Cedar says what's happening.
What am I saying? What's happening? What's going on?
The subs.
Yeah, subs. Were you looking for some more late subs?
Look. I mean, Christian runs his ass off every single game, so I feel like it's not like you're gonna fully. I don't feel like we're at the point where you're like, oh, let's give him a whole game off or anything like that. But I mean, give the man some rest. So I wouldn't mind seeing Danny out there more. I forgot before he got subbed on. I like forgot he was on the team. You know, this past game, I was like, oh yeah, there's Danny Leyva. I haven't seen him in like a fucking year. So
and last year he was
why not
good, right? Like he had some
really good player.
We cannot replicate with any other player.
Yeah, he's a good player, and you know he's hungry to play well. I mean, put him out there. He's going to run his ass off and. Yeah, if Christian needs some, I mean, the last thing we would need is for Christian to, you know, pull a calf or a hammy or something, knock on wood, you know, and that's what happens when people are really, really gassed. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, this has been a topic of conversation, like, ever since Brian took over being a head coach, is his substitution patterns. So I don't know. I mean, he's going to do what he wants to do, right? And what he feels is the right thing to do. And there's nothing that we say that will change that. So it is a little, it's definitely a little puzzling at times.
So game down in San Jose was 1-1. Rusnak hitting an 80th minute goal from the right wing.
Remember now.
To tie that match. Noting now that the Quakes all time against Sounders, this is MLS era, 15-15-11. But since 2021 in all competitions, they are 5-0-3. So they have not lost to us in 8 matches. So it's quite surprising. I've been at a few of those matches where we were winning late and then blew it, either making it be a tie or a loss down in San Jose last year. So it'll be interesting to see. Heritage Cup, both Seattle's won it 8 times. San Jose's won it 9 times. Oh, no, also 8. So San Jose's aiming to keep it for a 4th consecutive year. We'll find out on Wednesday. If it's a tie game and it's higher than 1-1, San Jose gets it. If the Sounders win or it's a 0-0 tie, Sounders
coming home.
It's coming home.
Heritage it's the one. It's the one we've all been waiting for.
This is the one choker we're going to win this year.
Wait, is it just us and San Jose?
It is right now. That's not the plan long term. So the deal is the Heritage Cup is a trophy that celebrates teams that played in the NASL. And Vancouver and Portland both turned down the opportunity to be a part of it because we already had the Cascadia Cup. So they were like, it's just Cascadia Cup plus plus San Jose. But I think that was short-sighted because there's other teams out there that exist. And so we're probably in the years coming forward as we've formed a nonprofit and it's going to be a 501c3 around this. There will be the opportunity to add cities that had, so we may not see this same team name, but cities that were NASL teams we can add into the process. I don't think that's finalized because we have to vote on it, but that's my feeling is we may see San Diego join. We may see potentially one of the LA teams, Minnesota teams like that may come into the fold and try for this cup of celebrating the NASL heritage of our soccer
of
teams
our
and of the league. Yes, exactly. I've never. I'm not old enough to have attended. I guess I am technically old enough to have attended a match, but I don't think I ever did.
That's cool, because it you know, when if that becomes more of a thing, just like I asked, like, oh, who's in it? It begs the conversation, like, oh yeah, these are the teams, these are the cities that have that heritage, literally, of NASL. Yeah, absolutely. And then you get to talking about it. That's cool.
Yeah, and Portland and Vancouver can join later, but I think they maybe they need to be punished a little bit and not be allowed in until last. So we will see. Did you get your question answered there, Dan? Or
yeah, that was it. My thoughts at the moment was, oh God, Christian is hurt, and we just did to Christian what we did to Morris earlier in the year. So that's always one of my fears.
I mean, if it's cramping though, you know, like, he's going to be okay, number one, and number two, he can waste time by going down.
Right. I just didn't know at the time if it was cramping, if he had popped his calf or his hamstring as he's stretching. You know, I just didn't know.
Oh, Alex, I thought maybe tore shit the way he did that.
Yeah. Like,
oh.
An accounting note, though, we actually play Colorado this Wednesday. So,
sorry.
San Jose is Saturday.
I switched the two games. Colorado is Wednesday.
So then
San
that
Jose
means
is Saturday. It is.
So then that means on Saturday I have a chance to see the Heritage Cup. So you're saying there's a chance?
Yeah.
Maybe you're saying there's a chance.
Absolutely.
No, I think we've seen enough to deduct 10 points from Everton.
That's good. Wait, so are we all in agreement on the... I thought that first penalty for Sporting Kansas City, I thought it was kind of weak.
I did too.
That was the moose
Danny
penalty.
Like,
oh, the moose one?
Yeah.
I watched, what was the second one?
Who fouled the Pedro? No.
Who was it?
Was it RBW?
Yeah, Baker Whitey.
One of them, now I've got them backwards. One of them was weak, and the other one looked weak, and then when you rewatch it, he just straight
took
out his legs.
I think so. As somebody that's new to soccer and of course from Texas and grew up with football, if I have one complaint, now that I understand the offside rule, if I have one complaint, it is players going down with just the most minute touch. And like, yeah, I think Danny hit his leg, but he didn't have to go down. It wasn't, he was knocked down. He fell down after feeling contact, and I don't know, just the sports that I grew up playing, that's some bitch-ass shit, man. Like, stand up and play. But that's the game, and he got a PK and a point out of it. So,
welcome to soccer.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can thank the Brazilians. Neymar specifically.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. The refs are supposed to be calling that, and they often will just not call it a foul when really they need to start giving cards.
It's
for
in the rule book.
I mean, that's
it's in the rule book.
Oh, it's on the rule book,
but then again, it's at the discretion of the ref, and that's where the issue is.
Right, but you start doing that, you're going to see a lot less diving. I mean, Jozy Altidore dove more than anybody in the history of sports, except for Manu Ginobili, maybe. And that guy,
Jozy's a big dude.
He is a big dude, but if the wind hit him, he would blow over like he was this tiny little camel. It drove me crazy. So I don't know. It is an interesting thing.
I don't know. It just looked like Danny like sidled up to him. Like, yeah, there was contact, but it wasn't like he tackled him from behind or anything.
Yeah. I'd have to rewatch it. Cause when I did watch a clip again, it seemed pretty good. I mean, it seemed like it was a penalty, but I don't know that it was the first time I watched it. And the second one was, Reed's was, once they showed it again. Like, it was like, oh, yeah, Reed's is fair.
But here's what I'm asking for. If Danny's was a penalty, if Danny and Reed's was both penalties, then how come it wasn't a penalty with Obed in the box? It was pretty much the same thing. Obed kind of slows down his run a little bit, forces the contact from behind, and then goes down after receiving the contact. So if that's not a penalty, then the other two shouldn't have been penalties.
Yellow for simulation on Obed. That's what we would get. Seriously.
It's a red for
we don't get those calls. Yeah. Oh my god. Oh, also every time they cut to Danny Musovski, like in a close up of his face during a game, I swear to god, he reminds me so much of Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah.
I don't know
yeah.
if you guys see oh, yeah. that. But... Oh my
Danny
god.
Danny one was not you're right. The Danny one was the one that was not the penalty. Look, like that was a ridiculous call.
You can see his facial reaction after he knew what he did. Well, he's like, fuck.
He knew he got called for it.
He looks just like Napoleon Dynamite. His mouth kind of open there. Like, I don't know. That's my old die on that hill.
He does. Reed was the one that was clearly a penalty though.
Yeah, just Reed tripped. Like, Reed tripped the attacker.
He hit his knee and knocked him over, basically. So, yeah, I mean, it's a rough one for Danny, but you can't put yourself in that position, especially as a forward. What are you doing defending in your own box?
That's Brian Smith's ball.
Nah, you don't see forwards.
Jordan was back there.
They do defend. They do defend, but not usually back that far. Well, that's because what our defense isn't good enough. Get some good defense.
We got to worry about getting a 9 first.
Yeah, true. Let's take a break. Let's listen to the Patreon ad, and we'll be right back.
Hey everybody, this is one of your hosts, Cameron Collins. Now, I know we said this time was time for a break, but really, it's a time for me to talk to you about our corporate overlords. And our corporate overlords are us. That's right, we would love it if you would head on over to patreon.com and look for Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast. We will put the link here in the show. And subscribe. You can subscribe for as little as $1.74 a month. Now, what will that get you? Well, I'll guarantee you get at least one extra episode per month. That'll be a cool interview or something like that, that otherwise you would not hear. Now, we might put out promos or other things that include that, but the whole episode intact will only be available for you Patreons, at least initially. Now, there will be other stuff that we put in there, but this is where we're starting at. Why, you ask? Well, we have bills to pay, and we need to make sure that we can keep this show going. You would not believe the going rate for PA announcers. So head on over to Patreon, go to Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast, and subscribe. You even get a cool little downloadable membership that has our logo on it. That's Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast over at patreon.com, patreon.com. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming.
And we're back. Yes, sign up for the Patreon. Join us on the Discord. Do all the fun stuff. All four of us here are Patreon members for this podcast. We talked about it last episode. We got to do some more Patreon stuff coming up here. But I think we can have some fun stuff going on. The next two matches are at home, though, so I don't think we can record live from them. You know what would be fun is to do a day in the life where you just carry like a little GoPro with you around and film what it's like to go sit with ECS. Alex, can you do that?
If you guys give me a GoPro, yeah, do it.
The problem is they won't let you. We can, but they don't. We probably have to clear it in advance. But that,
well, you know what,
that's
though?
Something to think about.
My buddy has the Meta glasses.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were to get those could work. It wouldn't be like consistent video, but it would just be some clips,
like
a POV. Like
cheering, especially in a game where we should win. Before we get into our top lineup of all time, let's talk about this upcoming match. We have a Colorado team coming in that just dropped a match to... Oh, no, they... Is that their last match? They beat Vancouver yesterday 3-0 at home, but lost 3-0 at LAFC. The match before where they got a 6-minute red card and then played the whole game down a man, basically. So Colorado seems to be a team of ups and downs, I guess we'll say, with some great performances and just getting demolished by Portland a few times. How are you feeling about this Colorado-Seattle matchup? A typically tough matchup for us in Colorado, but maybe not so much at home.
We've played good at home this year. That's when we've really been able to score the most. Jordan's back. You got to think that he's probably going to get another 45 start again. I don't know, with it being a midweek game, maybe they bring him off on the 60 minute just to make sure that he has enough time to rest. But man, I'm looking at the stats right now, and the goal difference for Colorado is -6.
Yeah,
that is not.
They've been blown out. I think Portland has beat them 3-0 twice, maybe. They gave up 3 goals to LAFC. It's been a rough go of it for them. 2 goals to San Jose, 2 goals to San Diego. 2-1 was the first Portland game. That's right. They've been giving up a lot of goals. Is this a chance to put another 3 up?
I'm interested to see what we're, you know, because there's some talk that we are going to get some rotation with our attacking band, and I would like to see Pedro with Jordan. I would like to see Pedro with the starters at the beginning of the game and kind of get an evaluation. The last 2-3 times I've actually, you know, we've seen Pedro play, it's been late in the game. The game state is already in the end game, and we just haven't seen what we wanted. So the entertainment for the fans, I want to see it. And I think Pedro needs to start immensely. I think throwing him a start would be important for his psyche. And again, this is just me going off the Cash Patel gut. So no evidence whatsoever suggests this. But his, you know, his body language and demeanor just from the TV against Kansas City, I think a start would be beneficial to him. And I would be excited to see him start again.
He looked really tentative. He looked really tentative on the ball. He looked like he was a little hesitant to make decisions. Sometimes his spacing seemed a little weird. Like, he seemed like he was ball watching a few times. Like, I saw certain points in the game, Schmetzer was like yelling at him to, like, you know, track this guy, pay attention to this guy. You know, this is just super anecdotal because I'm sitting at home watching. But, you know, I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, is he not playing the way that they want him to? And also, just like Dan is saying, his body language. Yeah, maybe he would feel a bit more juiced up if he got a start.
Could we see Ryan Kent out there as well?
Alex, oh, I hope so.
Oh, you want to know what my lineup would be?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, are you first Pedro? Do you think he should get some time? And what about Ryan Kent? Yeah.
Oh yeah. In the Napoleon Dynamite voice, vote for Pedro. So let Pedro
start. Have
they done
that yet? Have they used that? If no one's used that, they need to be using that.
I'm using it. I put a patent on it.
Okay.
I'm going to start using it now. No, I think you start Pedro. You start Morris, but you take him off at half again. I guess you do play Rusnak, and then you play give Ken a run out there. If not, it'll be Rothrock. Same midfield. And then we'll see Kalani come back. Hopefully.
Yeah, who's starting at left back, though?
Reed.
Or John Bell?
No, not John Bell. I start Reed. Because I think we're going to be at home. We'll have a lot more possession. We'll do the, like Smester says, play when we're in possession, have the 3 center backs. And then the midfield be high. I don't know. He's just going to roll out the same lineup as before. And then someone's going to get hurt, and we're going to have this cycle all over again.
I mean, go ahead, Dan.
I think a big question is are you starting Alex at center back again? Are you going to run with Reagan and Alex at center back and let KKR fly up that right wing? Or are we going to put Alex back and maybe play Bell there in center back instead, and so that you would have Reed, KKR out on the wings, and then, you know, how are you going to do that?
Let me give you some stats real quick before you all decide on that. In the game against Vancouver, Colorado had 16 shots, including 7 on target, both better than Vancouver, but only 41% of possession and only 82% pass accuracy. They did commit only 8 fouls to 16 for Vancouver, but they did have 2 yellows and 3 offsides more than Vancouver. Vancouver also had more corners. So here's a low possession, high shot team. What does that mean for our lineup? Does it change anything for you?
Are you sure we're not playing Minnesota?
These are not that bad, possession wise.
No, it's kind of.
It almost sounds like Sounders kryptonite with the team sitting back and then going when they get the chance. No, it doesn't change. I mean, I would start. I think I would run with Alex back at center back again if I was the one making the choice, and then have KKR. And let KKR push up the field, and hopefully we see Morris and getting the ball fed to him. I think there's a lot that gets me excited.
Cedar, what about you?
Yeah, to your point, I mean, you know, Colorado, they kind of their possession, it's kind of varied over the season. Like, you know, some games they've had like over 50%, you know, cracking 60, 66 during one game against Sporting Kansas City just a couple of weeks ago. And then they've also, then the next week they have 28% against LAFC, a team that doesn't want to have the ball. So it's, I have no idea what to expect. I mean, I haven't watched really any Colorado games this year except for our 1-1 draw against them on the road. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think they're going to be – I don't know. I feel like Sporting Kansas City will probably end up being more dangerous than – will have been more dangerous against us than Colorado will be. But, I mean, I just trust in our – in our talent. If we're able to play the way we want to play, I'm not concerned about Colorado. I feel like they're a team that's kind of, you know, all over the place and a little streaky. Seems like they go on losing streaks, you know, then they'll win a couple of games, they'll draw one and then go on another losing streak. So I'm not super concerned about them in particular. I think what I'm concerned about is like, hey, can we play with the energy and, you know, the capacity that we know we have? Because if we don't, then any team can beat us.
Yeah, makes sense. So give me a score prediction for the Colorado match on Wednesday. It's very funny that I was talking about San Jose being Wednesday when I had already pulled up all the Colorado stats ready to go to discuss with you. what's your score prediction then if we are assuming starting Jordan and coming out firing?
I think we're going to get 3-1, and Jordan's going to have a brace, and Pedro's going to get that goal, and it's going to be a very exciting night. So that's what I'm going to go with, 3-1 Sounders.
Cedar?
I also think 3-1 Sounders. I think they're going to get I think Colorado's going to get a really stupid penalty late, and Georgi Mihailovic will sink it home, and we'll end up with a win.
Alex, where are you at?
Also 3-1 Sounders. I think Jordan scores. Kent gets his first. And then Pedro Ooh. Scores. Oh. I'm going to be in the Discord. Vote for Pedro.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I'll go 3-2 then. I think Sounders probably take a 3-0 lead and then give up 2 goals. And then, of course, we have a nervy finish because, according to Schmetzer, a win is a win. So 3 points, you take it anywhere. I would rather discuss how to not allow 3 goals in a single half. But, yeah, I'm going 3-2 Sounders for my prediction. May change by the time I record with the scuttlebutt dudes. But you've all convinced me we're going to win the game. So I'm going with the game.
Wait.
I actually want to change mine. I now want to go 3-1 Colorado. I can't be the same as everybody else.
I'm going to add that Ree's going to get a red.
Oh, no.
Again.
This time it'll be a straight red.
Oh, gosh.
As long as he doesn't throw the ball in the stands, we should be okay.
No, he's going to throw the ball at the Colorado bench.
Yeah. And cause that's better.
And no, that's
better.
Probably less of a penalty at that point. That you just get a yellow. It's not a straight red.
No, because he's not Argentinian, so he's going to get a red.
Yeah, but weren't you the guy who said that Suarez was done and then he looked brilliant again this week for Miami? And that's all I'm saying.
I didn't watch the game.
Oklahoma City fan.
I don't watch Miami ball.
let's do a little game here before we finish up. We talked about it last show. It was my homework for all of you. And if you haven't done it, I'm an easy grader, so you can do it as we're going. But we know Dan has done it. So we're going to start with you, Dan. All-time Sounders 4-4-2 lineup.
So this was a lot of fun because it gave me an opportunity to kind of dig into some of the players that I missed coming into the Sounders.
Yeah,
you know, just a couple years ago. So I really enjoyed this and watching some of the highlights of these players.
Let's go from your forward backwards, because I think
because
there's some that will be obvious, and I think there's some that might be a little.
But my forwards, I think that's where people are going to get upset. So
oh no, then this is going to be fun then, because then you see your forwards, and then we can talk to everyone else.
Okay, so if I'm playing a top two, I'm playing with Ryle and Oba.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
Nice.
Then moving into the midfield, I got Morris on the left, Ladero, Alonso, and then Christian on the right. And then with the back four, I got Brad Smith, Zach Scott, Chad Marshall, Yedlin.
Wow. Interesting. There's definitely some differences that I have. Some debates that I had there.
Wait, who you got a goalkeeper?
Yeah, that's true.
Hanneman?
Have we had a goalkeeper before Fry? I thought we played with 10 men before Fry played with us.
Yeah. Spurning, your obvious choices are Spurn, and it's not a difficult, I mean, it is a difficult choice. Spurning and, of course, Casey Keller. Versus Fry. We've had other goalies, but those are the main ones, and they all an argument can be made for all of them.
Absolutely.
So we're assuming you go with Fry there?
100%, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty good lineup, I've got to say. Cedar, what are you thinking here for your lineup?
Up top, I've got Raul and Clint Dempsey. And I'd have Dempsey, you know, kind of be more of a shadow striker there. And then basically same midfield as Dan, Morris left mid, Lodero, Alonso, and then Christian on the right. And then back line, I've got Nuhu left back. I've got Chad Marshall, Yamar at center back, and then Kelvin Leerdam at right back, and then Fry and goal.
Another, that was my debate at right back, Leerdam versus Yedlin. Tough one. Alex, what's your lineup?
So I'm going to do Raul and Clint up top.
Yep.
Same midfield as Cedar and Dan with Morris, Nico, Alonso, and Roldan. All right. So right back, I'm taking Brad Evans.
Oh.
And then I'm taking Yamar, Chad Marshall, and then Leo Gonzalez.
Interesting.
And so then I got goal.
Sorry, I forgot you about goal.
And then goal, I'm taking Casey Keller.
Okay. Not a bad choice. Not a bad choice. Nice. I have Raul and Deuce up top. I originally was going to do Oba and Deuce, but then I remembered that Oba never scored a playoff goal in his entire career and would always fizzle out by then. So couldn't do it. Midfield's the exact same. Jordan, Nico, Ozzy, and Christian. I did go with Nuhu at left back. Chad Marshall. I had a big debate between Roman and Yamar at center back, and I went with Yamar. And then I had a big debate between Yedlin and Leerdam, and I went with Yedlin. And then, of course, I went with Fry just because of his longevity and just what he's done for our team. But I will say Spurning was pretty amazing. He just wasn't here enough years. I think it's telling, though, that for the MLS, we have quite a few players there that could potentially and should definitely one day be in the Circle of Legends for the Sounders. But we'll have to see, because you have to have – to qualify, you have to meet certain criteria. And Jordan, Christian, Yamar, Nuhu are all years off. And Raul are all it's like four to 5 years after they retire. So they won't make it for a long time. But I think Ozzy's eligible first ballot, if I'm not mistaken. So we could see Ozzy. Deuce might be. I'd have to look at the number of games he played. Also, there may be a question of was he involved with the championship, because he was on the roster, but he was, remember, injured when that happened. So, but I think he was there for, I was going to say U.S. Open Cup. but another year maybe. Chad Marshall, we'd have to look at the timing, and Yamar, of course, is still active. So Roman is the type of player who does not get in on straight numbers, but there are special categories that could get him in. But he also may be the type of player who, just based on the criteria, which Nicholas and I wrote and then was adapted by the Sounders, he wouldn't get in because he didn't meet some of those numbers, but he could get in like as a moment. Like his penalty obviously is the biggest moment in Sounders history.
Roma.
Maybe the save, but yeah. So that's fun. I mean, I think trying to decide that was tough. And I also think we all went with MLS, which is interesting because we had this discussion at the end of the last show. Who might have we included instead? I don't know enough about the NASL Sounders, which is why there is representation for those people on the Circle of Legends. I know some of the players are, but I don't know of their true impact. So we'll be able to look at those numbers. And USL, although it was minor league, I mean, there's still some legends there that potentially could be involved. I looked it up. There's 40 players who've played defender for the Sounders all time. There's probably more now, but that was as of like 3 years ago. So I guess it's more at this point. Does that lineup that y'all picked, since they're largely the same with the exception of a different center back, different right back, different goalie, does that lineup and left back, does that lineup win a championship in the MLS?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, of course it does.
wait, who's the one that has Nuhu at left back?
I do.
Yeah, you're so getting red card in the final. You're losing on a PK.
Oh, no. I mean, I just don't.
Red cards go to you.
I don't see. To me, Nuhu, player-wise, is the best left back we've ever had. I think he just it's hard with what's going on right now, right? How do you decide?
Also, we wouldn't play them in a 4-4-2, right? I mean, no. We'd probably have you'd drop Alonso and Roldan, you know, as defensive midfielders, right?
I mean, you'd play Christian on the right and have Ozzy back. If you're playing two forwards, if you're only playing one forward, then you drop Christian back and bring in a different right mid. But my guess is if we're playing with two at the top, I mean, you do the diamond in the middle, and then you got the four at the back.
You could go 4-2-2. Yeah.
Say that again.
Yeah. 4-2-2 with the two CDMs, two cams, and then two strikers. Jordan can play.
That was Schmetzer's coach. That's not happening.
Well, this is why I'm the coach, and we're playing FIFA.
We can't score from the wing in that instance. Well, if we're playing FIFA, I'm doing three at the back, which is my always lineup. Three center backs, and then I don't put anyone at wing back. I want extra attacking players up top.
So that's why I put Brad Evans as my right back, because in possession, we're going to be three in the back. And you just have Leo Gonzalez running up the line.
Yeah. Yeah. Leo played 137 matches at the time. It was the fifth most in club history. I think it's now probably the eighth or ninth most in seven seasons from 2009 to 2015. And he won the U.S. Open Cup in 09, 10, 11, and 14 in the Supporters Shield in 14. More than 10,000 minutes. I happen to have that open on another window here, so I did not memorize that.
No, I just Googled left backs in Sounders history, and that's the one that came up.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, I don't want to pick Nuhu.
Chad Marshall got four best 11 honors. Of course, only two with the Sounders. But isn't the award named after him for best defender in the league? Isn't the Chad Marshall Award?
I think so, right?
See, so yeah. When you guys think of Chad Marshall, do you guys think of him in his time in Seattle or his time in Columbus? Was it Columbus?
Columbus, yeah.
Because I heard that on another podcast.
He did 10 years in Columbus, but the Sounders didn't exist before then.
MLS didn't exist till 2009.
He did 5 years with Columbus while the Sounders were a team. And then he came here. So I definitely think of him as a Sounders player before a Columbus player. I mean, and plus he's still around in some capacity.
We saved him from Columbus.
Brad Evans came that same year. Same year.
No, yeah.
Nice. That's pretty good.
So the MLS didn't start till 2009.
And it was around,
invented soccer, right? Yeah. Seattle invented soccer.
Well, that's why the ball this year is Seattle colors. Uh-huh.
Green and blue. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's you guys see we have a fourth kit? Yeah, we have a fourth kit. It's already dropped.
The All-Star jersey?
Yeah, the All-Star jersey.
Oh, do we? I don't think we have any All-Stars, do we?
No, because there's a East Coast biased.
I mean, that is true, but I'm not sure if there's... Who? Okay, that's a good question. For the three of you, who on the Sounders roster deserves to be on the All-Star team? I would say Fry, but he's hurt, so we can't count him.
Well, I mean, he could count him.
Christian count him.
Christian for sure. I think just
and Rusnak.
Yeah,
it's a tough position though for him, based on what other people are doing around the league.
Yeah, I don't think he's producing enough.
Yeah, but it's subjective, and that's who I think. So,
sure.
I mean,
your eyes deceive you.
The Austin coach, what's his face? Is it Nico Esteves?
Well, he picked Brandon.
Yeah,
exactly, right? No, but what I'm saying is the Austin head coach, I forget his name, but he had initially picked Brandon Vasquez, his own player, to be an all-star over Sam Surridge, who leads the league in goals. You know, it's just like, okay, well, that's stupid. You know, that's really dumb.
And that's why karma came.
I will choose who I want.
No, because we don't want Rusnak to tear his ACL.
No, we don't. It's fine. I honestly don't care about, I mean, they care. The players probably care a little bit, but I don't care about who's an all-star or not, you know, like less games for us to have our guys get injured in.
It might.
Are they playing Liga MX all-stars?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a better game.
We did get a player in the MLS next all-star game, Ronan Learning, who I don't even know who that is, but he's a Sounders youth player apparently.
The only Sounders player we know in the academy is Omar Hassan.
I don't know. I've never heard that player in my life. So Sounders of the academy, Ronan Learning, MLS Next announced that he is on that. He joined the Sounders academy in 2002, scored in 18 matches, 15 starts during the 2024-25 MLS Next season, scoring 3 goals, including a brace against San Jose. He recently played with Sounders FC Academy in the 2025 Generation Adidas Cup at the U18 level, finishing third in Group F. God, remember when he used to win those against like Real Madrid and teams like that?
Oh, yeah.
It's rough. It is rough. But yeah, so we have one youth player that made the All-Star game. And wasn't Alex the highest rated Sounders player in the All-Stars?
For right back?
For all positions, he was the highest on the list.
Yes, he was. And like the fan voting.
Yeah, he was the only one that was top three at any position.
Dan, how many votes did you submit?
For MLS or for 2024 election?
For MLS.
Oh, none.
None. Okay.
I guess you can blame me for the Sounders not having anybody in there.
I mean, the midfielders are Sebastian Berhalter, David DaCosta, Evander, Diego Luna, Jeppe Tverskov, and Philippe Zinckernagel. The three of them, including DaCosta being coach selections. So,
it's
hard to argue.
Not surprising. It's pretty good for midfield. And they went heavy on the forwards and no defenders. The coach selected a Cincinnati player, a Nashville player, a Union player, and a Columbus Crew player to come in. Man, Andy Nahar, I didn't even know he was still in the league. Wow.
I think it'd be way more fun if they just did East versus West, you know?
No money.
I mean, is there money in this? I don't think there's money. No one's paying to go to see
the Liga MX fans.
Perhaps, but they're already going to have to go to Leagues Cup a week later. This is July 23rd. Leagues Cup starts literally a week later.
The cartel sponsors them.
Could be.
They send their taxes to the U.S. and it pays for him.
I did not realize that Andy Nahar went and played at Olympia for meaning the team in Honduras where he plays for the national team for several years before coming back. In my head, he's always a DC United player where he's done two stints with a total of 152 matches. Long time player.
That's a lot.
Yeah. He did go to Anderlecht as well. So quality player that maybe the United States should have done more to get on the national team since he moved to the U.S. at the age of 13. Isn't that always the case? There's so many, like, who did I learn? Who's the second best player for Canada? I found out today he was born in the United States. And
Jonathan
David? Yeah. Jonathan David was born in the United States and does not play for the USA. Come on.
I think he had the one-time switch too.
Oh, did he? Did they put him on our team for a little bit?
Maybe youth at the youth level.
Yeah, well, it would sure be nice if we had a player of his quality on our team. It looks like, no, he's been at Canada since U17. So, born in Brooklyn, New York. They moved to Haiti when he was a baby and then immigrated to Ottawa. Should have brought him in. Big mistake.
Damn it.
Especially because we need a 9 at the national level.
Right. That's for our U.S. men's national team edition of the show.
How do you guys feel about Pochettino?
Fine. I mean, I think he did pretty well considering we had a bunch of trash players on the field and all our starters were gone.
They didn't want to go, remember? Pulisic needed some rest.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to go to Cancun.
Yep. I think he should have not let him go. I think they should have said, well, then you're not going to be on the World Cup because Landon Donovan was talking about it with the goalkeeper, Tim Howard, saying that in our day, the Gold Cup before the World Cup was when these are our rotations coming up for the World Cup and we're going to run them now and see how they work. And he should have just said, you got to come. So my guess is that U.S. soccer is let them be babies and not do that.
Yeah, they get the entitlement that they feel just because they're in Europe.
My excitement for the U.S. men's team is probably at a record low right now. Terrible time for it to happen with the World Cup coming up, but you know,
in the United States, no less.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Don't worry, Dan. It's not too late to do the one-time switch to root for Mexico.
Yeah, it's that easy. No. Huh?
Or Canada. You can always
do that. That's actually hilarious.
Canada is going to one-time switch. Are you going to one-time switch like you did from Portland to Seattle? Is this what we're talking about?
I don't have.
Moving from Seattle to Portland is way worse than or is not even as close as going from U.S. to Mexico.
I haven't even gone to a Portland game.
You know, you're going to keep bringing that up till you burn the jersey.
I know. You said you're going to burn that jersey. I haven't seen any pictures of that jersey burning yet.
I said I was going to burn it on the 4th of October when we play against the Timbers.
That's a long ways away, but it's a good birthday present.
Better be on YouTube as soon as it happens.
Yeah, I'm going to get arrested. Are you guys going to pay my bail?
Oh, this should be for the Patreon.
Yeah.
Right?
There you go.
Or a little jersey roast.
Yeah, but we all got to do it together, so whenever that happens.
You're gonna
we're building community, you know.
Here's the Patreon episode. We're gonna go to downtown Portland and we're gonna watch Alex. I think he just got off.
Yeah, he didn't like the idea.
He doesn't want to burn the jersey at downtown
Hold up. I'm looking for something.
He was excited that we weren't gonna hold him to it, so we didn't know he was a Portland fan to begin with. Well, he's looking for that. I will say I did see a post right now from yesterday of someone posting the Sounders logo, but the two stars on the top are red. For the number of red cards we keep getting.
It's because I was actually going to give it to you as a gift, Cameron. I was going to give you the Portland jersey.
I do not have any use of a Portland jersey.
Well, you said you were short on toilet paper.
Yeah, that is true.
Oh,
there it is.
Oh, that's so ugly.
Yeah.
What do we do with that?
I'm going to burn it.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
All I'm going to say is I'm glad that people are listening to this podcast instead of seeing the podcast so that they didn't,
right. They didn't see that.
Have to see one of the Ultras holding up a Portland jersey.
I will say that. If you were a Portland fan and want to become a Sounders fan, you're more than welcome. You know, there's people that have done wrong in their lives and they've repented and become better people. It's understandable. Maybe you were confused. You grew up there and it took you to realize that Portland is just like that petulant little sibling that is not as cool as the older sibling up north. So come root for the Sounders, Real Soccer City USA.
There's a small fee, though, for the Switch. You have to join the Patreon.
Yeah, join the Patreon. Perfect.
And join the Discord.
Yeah.
That's when we'll know you're legit.
Yeah, that's when we know you're a real Sounders fan.
No. It was on clearance, and I was young. I was young and dumb.
Whatever you guys
tell other teams. I mean, I have other teams' jerseys. I have a Nashville jersey. I have a Washington DC United jersey. I just bought a St. Louis jersey the other day.
Not
St. Louis. I didn't buy the St. Louis. Who did I buy? Ajax jersey because Trailblazers. I would buy a Trailblazers jersey, but that's it.
No, I wouldn't.
I saw the weirdest jersey because I looked it up after. I was like, wait, did he ever play for them? I think it was Fremont at like one of those, you know, basement kind of thrift shop, like, you know, vintage stores. And I saw an Ajax jersey that was black and it had red and green. Like they were doing some kind of Rasta thing.
Oh, yeah.
And on the back, the name on the jersey was Areola, like Paul Areola. And I was like, wait, what? Like, he never played for them, did he? So I looked up, you know, his career and I couldn't find anything. And I couldn't find any Areola ever playing for Ajax. You know, I didn't look too hard, but I was like, what is this jersey? Like, it looked legit, too. It was Adidas. It was, you know, it looked nice. It said Areola. I think it was the number 6 or something. I was like, somebody just like mock this up.
It might have been like a fan press where they do custom names.
You
probably came across a Sunday League jersey.
Oh yeah,
I mean, I don't know. They did a Bob Marley themed jersey, so
I remember that.
And it's rare, so if someone got rid of that, they're crazy. They are crazy. Hold on to that. Ugh.
Well, I didn't buy it, so it might still be there.
Yeah.
For all you bargain hunters.
I think it's time to get out of here. Any final words before we move along? No. Sounds like there isn't.
All out of words.
Okay. We'll leave it there. They can find you all in the Discord.
Let's see if
look at that. A Pulisic jersey. AC Milan. Yep.
AC Milan.
Yeah, I have a Chelsea one of his.
I have a whole bunch of jerseys.
Mr. Glass. Always broken. But I think it's a perfect time to say farewell. We'll be back in a week or so. And everybody have fun this week. Two Sounders matches. Good times.
Yeah. Woo! I look forward to talking to y'all next week with 6 more points.
Perfect. Let's do it.
Go.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.